to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome, episode 81 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Welcome to another show. I hope you all had a great weekend. It's a little unseasonably cooler and a little wet this weekend here in Metro Detroit. Friday, though, was able to make it down to the ballpark to watch a little baseball and hang out, which actually turned out to be the nicest night of the weekend, Friday night. I tried to get back out on the golf course Saturday morning. Was only able to get 9 holes in while it was misting out before it started to rain, so that was a total bummer. And Sunday, more rain, Metro Detroit and at the track in New Hampshire. It was tried to move up the start time, but unfortunately the rain came and gave us a couple hour rain delay there. Before I get into today's show, just want to say how much fun last week's shows were. It's always a fun time with Sherwin from PETM. Glad he was able to come on last Tuesday while their show was on a little summer break. They are back tonight as well, actually, which is very exciting. So make sure you check them out. They are back and rolling. And this past Thursday night was extra fun hosting Julius Curry at 24 Seconds Bar in Berkeley. It was cool to have him there in person, do an in-person live show on location outside of MIS. That was the first time doing that, so that was very cool. And Josh Rayum called in as well a little bit later on. Like I said, it was a lot of fun, different style show, talked a lot of football with Julius. So if you're a Michigan fan, you're going to love that show. So go check it out if you haven't already. So yeah, 2 shows last week, and this Thursday, a third week of extra content shows. So I hope you guys are not getting sick of Lap Traffic yet. But this Thursday, the listener call-in show, which I think is going to be a lot of fun, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later on. All right, today's show, me, myself, and I. No guests this week. Tried to put a couple things together there. Just wasn't able to get some times lined up. And that's okay, because it's been a while since it's just been me here. So I am cool with that. So if you guys are getting ready to shut it off before you do, just mute it and put down the volume and let the downloads count. Just kidding. Okay, so I am going to talk some trucks at Eldora, obviously, Xfinity, and the Cup race at New Hampshire, the usual social media shout-outs. Aaron will be on to talk about the weather upcoming this week at Pocono, Lucky Dog lap down picks, and the usual fantasy goodies. All right, I am getting right into it. All right, this past Wednesday night, almost a week, but it's time to talk some Eldora truck racing. Oh, I got to tell you, first, it was just fun being able to live tweet a race Wednesday night. That was fun. I recall it being a very nice night out here. Was sitting outside watching the race, tweeting it up with Sherwin and you guys, which was a lot of fun. Ben Rhodes wins stage 1. Chase Briscoe pulling home stage 2. And the eventual winner of the race, Mr. Chase Briscoe. So right from the get-go, I mean, I'm talking the heat races. I'm not even talking a race. When you were able to see the right front tire not down on the track, oh, yeah, knew you were in for some fun sliding around that track throughout the rest of the race and into the night. It was a little cooler at Eldora this year than years past. Track stayed a little wetter, I think, because they wet the track down quite a bit. These guys were sliding around like crazy. And man, that was so much fun watching that. Stage 1, right off the bat, Sauter goes around and brought out the first caution. I tell you, if you were to give me 20 guesses who was going to bring out the first caution, I would not have said Johnny Sauter. Ben Rhodes, who ends up winning stage 1, was running the Kyle Larson line at Eldora. He was hugging that wall. Did really well early on. Like I said, he won stage 1, but spinning late in the race with about 50 to go and just unable to make it back to the front, finished 29th. The 45 of Fontaine brings out the second caution with 19 to go in stage 1. The 52 of Friesen gets turned by the 54 of Windham. We end up getting an 8-lap shootout for stage 1. Rhodes just drifting beautifully along that high line. Newman almost spun Crafton, which I think they did end up getting into it in stage two. And Rhodes barely beaten Logan Seavey, the number 51, to the line. And that was a guy to watch. Man, was he running very well during that truck race there. Over to stage two. Crafton gets into the 17, tears up his rear quarter panel. Man, that thing was held down with some tape. That's for sure. Back to green, 30 to go. Stage two, Briscoe and Enfinger side by side for 25 laps. That was probably some of the most exciting racing of the night, was watching Briscoe and Enfinger side by side literally for the entire 25 laps to go with stage two. Enfinger tried to make the low line work on the last lap, but Briscoe makes the high side work and wins stage two. And those guys for that entire 25 laps were no more than a half second back from each other, which, like I said, I mean, I don't know how you weren't entertained watching the end of stage two of that Eldora truck race. Over to stage three. I said Rhodes goes around with 53 to go, but they end up staying green on the track. The 17 goes around with 20 to go and looked like we were going to get a 15-lap shootout. Four wide in the restart there, and we get a little bit of a mini big one at Eldora. The 4, the 13, the 02, the 2 all going around. Back to green with 5 to go, and the 27 of Briscoe gets a good restart, but back to yellow right away with 4 to go. The 25 and the 15 going around. And the 6 and Norm Benning loses side door, basically. That was crazy. Got a little Daytona-ish on the track, as I said on Twitter. So we're heading to overtime at a dirt track, and all I'm thinking is this thing's going to take a long time because it's just going to be yellow after yellow. But no, I was wrong. They make it through with just one overtime. Enfinger has the lead at the white flag. Briscoe and Enfinger side by side for the laps two. Or I'm sorry, for the last two laps, banging off each other, sliding around the track. Last lap passed by Briscoe for the win with the field wrecking behind them. It was crazy. It's all I've got to say. Like I mentioned, the 51 of Seavey, he almost won that damn thing. He led a bunch of laps and was doing incredible out there. Just unbelievable job. I was blown away, and I thought that would have been really cool if he would have been able to get the win. But still, not bad. Brought it home 8th, actually, which is, I mean, out there competing with the likes of these guys and brings it home 8th. Stuart Freeze in 3rd, Crafton 4th. Brett Moffitt, who said a couple weeks ago on the show he just hopes to bring it home in one piece, and brought it home top 5. Nice job there. So that was the race. Over to the truck standings. Trucks are at Pocono this week with just 3 races to go before the trucks playoffs start. They got Pocono, MIS, and Bristol. And with a non-truck regular win in the race with 3 races to go, we currently have 3 guys going in on points. And those guys are currently sitting 4th, 5th, and 6th in the standings. Enfinger, Friesen, and Crafton, 4th, 5th, and 6th in the standings with no wins, looking to make it in on points. And to be fair, they probably got a pretty safe shot of going in on points as well, considering as how far back in the standings Snyder, Coughlin, Sargent, and Austin Hill are. So they probably are safe. I think Eldora would have been the wild card race there if anyone outside of the top 8 were going to make it into the playoffs on wins, and that did not happen. So I'm sure those guys all had a sigh of relief. And yeah, so we've got a truck Xfinity doubleheader this Saturday with the trucks at Pocono in the afternoon at 1 o'clock. And then the Xfinity series kicking it off about 5:30-ish, I believe, on Saturday afternoon. So that's cool. 2 races Saturday, 2 different tracks. Over to the Xfinity series. Christopher Bell winning stage 1, Brad Keselowski stage 2, and Chris Bell holding off the field and winning the race. I got to say, it was a pretty good race for an Xfinity series there. I thought it was very cool that an Xfinity rookie was able to hold off a Cup vet of the likes of Brad Keselowski for the win. I will not lie. I watched the Xfinity race basically on fast forward on DVR during the rain delay on Sunday to get some talking points for the Xfinity race. So I did not watch it as in depth as the truck and cup race this past weekend. But nonetheless, something that we have grown accustomed to in the Xfinity series as of late has been caution-free stage one. And we got a caution-free stage one this past weekend at Loudoun. As expected, Keselowski did make his way to the front, led most of stage two. We did get a late debris caution with 20 to go in stage two. We went back to green with 16 to go, with Priest and Keselowski battling it out. And then with 11 laps to go in stage two, the four of Ross Chastain goes around. Some of the Xfinity regulars pitted during this caution, including race winner Christopher Bell. So definitely using some pit strategy towards the end of stage two there, which was pretty cool to see. We go back green with six to go when the 11 of Ryan Truex goes around. So we got three quick cautions at the end of stage two. Back to green with two to go. Priest, Hemric, Keselowski battling for the stage two win. Keselowski was able to clear everyone on the top and brings home the stage two checkered flag. So we go from caution free in stage one to a very busy end of stage two with three cautions, starting with 20 to go in stage two. Sadler got out front early in stage three to lead some laps. But again, that was it. He just led some laps. We went almost 70 laps of green flag racing into stage three. Got some green flag pit stops in. But during those green flag pit stops, the 51, Jeremy Clements, gets into the tire barrier trying to get to pit road, bringing out the caution and the red flag for some cleanup. We got back to green with 27 to go. Saw some more three wide action with Priest, Hemric, and John Hunter Nemechek battling for position. The 40 of Fincham brings out the yellow with 22 to go. And back to green with 18 laps to go. They fan out on the restart. Bell clears Keselowski. John Hunter actually battling the 22 of Keselowski on the bottom. I was surprised they stayed green the rest of the way, the full 18 laps from the last caution. But they did. And Keselowski held off, or I'm sorry, Christopher Bell held off a charging Brad Keselowski there at the end. Over to the standings for the Xfinity Series. We got eight races to go still in the Xfinity Series before the round of 12 begins in the playoffs. So a little bit of time, but right now, only three drivers in on wins. So right now we've got nine drivers making it in on points with a tight battle at the bubble. If we look at the bubble, we got Cindric in 10th, Reed in 11th, Chastain in 12th, those guys 10 through 12. But John Hunter, Nemechek, Annette, Sieg, and Grala are 13th to 16th. And John Hunter is only 2 points out of the 12th place spot. And 52 points is all that separates 12th and 16th right now. So there is definitely nothing set in stone as far as the Xfinity standings are concerned. Eight races to go, like I said. And with John Hunter running like he's been running the last couple weeks, I wouldn't be surprised to see if John Hunter makes his way up into the top 12 before this thing is said and done. Like I said a couple minutes ago, the Xfinity race caps off the doubleheader on Saturday with the trucks at Pocono and the Xfinity series at Iowa at about 3:30. I think I said 5:30 earlier, but that is definitely a 3:30 start there. So that should be a lot of fun. All right, over to the Cup Series where my man, Mr. Kevin Harvick, gets his sixth win on the season. All right, but get to that here in a moment. Stage one, no stranger to stage wins, Mr. Martin Truex Jr. and Mr. Chase Elliott getting his first playoff point and stage win for stage number two. And then, as I just mentioned, Mr. Kevin Harvick brings home the checkered flag. All right, so after we watched a pretty hefty rain delay and rain coverage there, like I said, it actually kind of worked out nice for me. I'm not going to lie, because I didn't have a whole lot planned on Sunday. So all it did for me was open up a little bit of free time after the cup race was over, because that's when I was planning on going through the DVR and watching the Xfinity race. But I was able to do that beforehand, so I was quite pleased in that regard that I was able to get that done. But if you were at the track and all that, totally sucks. Totally get it. All right. Stage one, green track. Everyone behaved themselves at the drop of the green flag there. Lap two, top 5 to 7 were all single file. Very hard to pass early on the bottom. The momentum was definitely in lane two there. Without fail, caution comes out during commercial when the 00 of Landon Castle hits the wall around lap 15. Most everyone stayed out knowing that the competition caution was coming at lap 35. Dinger backs into the wall on lap 20, no pun intended there. And the competition caution, top five, taking two tires. And then you had some unique strategy with some guys like Jimmy Johnson, who stayed out during the competition caution, as did a few others, which actually helped him, the fact that he wasn't the only one stayed out. So he didn't get swallowed alive like you would see if you're the lone duck that stays out and everyone comes to pit road. And that helped him, I think. You know, he was able to bring it home top 10. But I think getting that track position with that staying out helped him quite a bit. Martin Truex Jr. takes the lead over Stenhouse, who was out there on the same type of strategy that Jimmy Johnson was. You know, I don't know if you were listening to the broadcast, they were talking about, you know, Stenhouse being on the cut line currently at the moment, and that he was talking with his team and all that, and the lucky number for them, they felt, was they had to finish 12th or better going forward in each race. So they were trying to make something happen there strategy-wise. That did not work out for them. In fact, I think they finished 27th, 26th, somewhere around there. But anyways, back to stage one. The caution comes out for debris with 23 to go. They go back green. Martin Truex Jr. holds on for the stage one win. Stage two, Kyle gets loose on the restart. Larson had to come back down to tie up some loose lug nuts. Pretty dry stage two, to be honest with you. Not a lot going on other than Chase Elliott making the pass on Martin Truex Jr. with 18 to go, and Chase Elliott holding on to win stage two. So that was a lot of fun to watch and see that. Over to stage three, Kurt Busch to the lead to start, and Eric Almirola up to P2 to start this thing. So Stuart Haas having a pretty solid day so far, we're talking here early in stage three. Harvick almost got left out to dry on the bottom line, trying to battle Martin Truex Jr. for position. And Almirola to the lead with about 80 laps to go. Almirola was actually trying to use some pit maneuver and some blocking and some picks as he used the 11 to pick on the 4 to take the lead back from Harvick. 14, not the best day for Clint Bowyer as he was blocked flagged for pitting outside the box. Yellow came out with about 45 to go. The 18 team gets him the lead off pit road, and I thought that was the race-winning move, if I was being honest with you. Go back to green with 40 to go, and the big three running top three with 25 to go. Harvick, little nudge to the 18 to bring home the checkered flag. All right, so what's my take and thought on Mr. Kevin Harvick's move there? So obviously the fan in me, hey, he did what he had to do for the win. Now, the podcaster in me and Mr. Objective in me and trying to not homer out completely, still kind of doesn't have that big of an issue with the move, knowing that it was for the win. And there was no doubt in my mind that if roles were reversed, that the same thing wouldn't have happened. If I could honestly tell myself I thought something else would be different, then I'd have a different opinion there, perhaps. But I do not. So I think that was racing. I was talking with Sherwin via text, and he even put it out on Twitter. You know, it's not about necessarily, as long as you're only moving somebody and you're not shoving them into the wall, causing a wreck and causing, you know. Harvick did it in the most perfect way possible. He moved him enough to make the pass and not impact anybody else's day. So from that regard, I think that is racing there. I know that many guys have won doing that, and quite a few have lost, including both Harvick and Kyle Busch. Now, We all know that those two were never the best of friends if we're talking, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. Definitely some well-known heated arguments and tension between those two. But over the last couple years or so, you've seen them be a little bit more chummy if the cameras are, you know, with the drivers behind the stage for driver intros and things of that nature. They're laughing, having a little bit of a good time with each other. Now, I wonder if this maybe restarted a little rivalry between the 4 and the 18. You know, and hey, if they're smart, they play into it, even if they're cool, which I would assume that they are. I think that they are both have obviously... we all know Kevin Harvick was a little bit of a hothead and tempered back in his early days, as was Kyle Busch. But I will tell you, I think the fact that they each have a championship now, multiple wins, and a kid, to be honest with you, have mellowed each of them out a little bit. So while they may play up to the rivalry a little bit, I definitely think that things are fine there between those two, and I don't foresee any on-track retaliations just to do it because. Now, if next week at Pocono roles are reversed and that happens, well, hey, then just have to take our medicine and move right along. So that's my rant on that. Over to the Cup standings. The big three, Kyle Busch, still points leader with 844 regular season points, followed by Kevin Harvick with 791. One thing I forgot and keep forgetting about is that the regular season gets you 15 extra playoff points if you win. So while Kevin Harvick has the most playoff points at the moment, if things were to end, Kyle Busch would actually get an extra 15, which would propel him to the playoff points lead quite nicely there. Cup guys are at Pocono. Only 6 races to go to play before the playoffs for the Cup guys. After Pocono, we go back to some road course racing at Watkins Glen before heading here to my home track at MIS. So, you know, only 6 races to go. Still could maybe get a few more wins, potentially, for some guys that don't have a win yet. I am shocked Brad Keselowski doesn't have a win. Kyle Larson doesn't have a win. Denny Hamlin doesn't have a win. Jimmy Johnson doesn't have a win. All of these guys are definitely, I think, drivers we would have hard penciled in with a number 2 clicker at the start of the season as guys that would have had a win this deep into the season. But nonetheless, it's shaping out the way it is with Kyle Busch, 5 wins, Harvick with 6, and Truex with 4. I think it's going to be fun, even though it's not spread out with wins. You know, I've talked a lot about how I'd love to see 17 drivers get a win, and I think that would be awesome. Or ideally, we drop off the 16-round session there and kick it down to 12. And I think it's a lot more feasible to see 13 different race winners than it is 17 different race winners. And I say that only because that means someone with a win doesn't get in, which I think, I don't know why I think that would be so cool, but I just think that would be so cool. But that said, even though the wins have not been as spread out, I think the playoffs are going to be a lot of fun to watch, knowing that Busch, Harvick, and Truex are going to be up towards the front running top 5 at probably at every race in the playoffs, which is just going to make this a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, if you had to guess, it's going to come down to those 3. You know, who's the big question is who's the 4th wild card is to make it to Homestead. Now, there's a good chance, you know, one of these 3, 2 of these 3 don't make it to Homestead. But if you had to look at it now, it would just make sense to say that they were. So it's a matter of who's that 4th spot. Right now, Joey Logano's 4th. But I wouldn't necessarily say that he's going to be the 4th one there. Could it maybe be a 2nd Stuart Haas car and Clint Bowyer? Who knows? That's what's going to make this fun, to see who can battle that out for that extra position there at Homestead, if it is the big 3. And to be honest, at this point, I hope it is the big 3 that gets to Homestead, just because I think it would be anticlimactic to have someone win all of these regular season wins and not make it to Homestead to go and race for it with the other 2. So hopefully, like I said, I hope all 3 of these guys, Busch, Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr., make it to Homestead. All right. That's enough of that. Over to some social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Make sure you like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Make sure you're downloading on Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, and of course, Podbean and iTunes. All right. I've been saying I'm going to have a new contest. I still don't have one, but I'm going to have one by next Tuesday because I finally realized, hey, I'm getting pretty close here to MIS, so and I want to give something away. So a new contest announced on the show next week. Over to some new followers. Shout-outs, Christine at Cop in Disguise. That's a very cool Twitter handle name. She's a police chief and sheriff deputy, a big Stuart Haas fan, which is very cool. Welcome to the show. Hunter at Arnsdorf Hunter from Oregon and a big NASCAR fan. Dylan at, I'm not going to try to pronounce this, so I am going to spell your Twitter handle, Dylan, CHRYSALIS89, loves football and NASCAR. And Captain Mike at Mike 23175156 from the great state of Michigan. Welcome to the show. Don't forget to check out the website for some t-shirts and all that good stuff. If you want some koozies or anything like that, fill out the contact page and I will send you one. And if you've been to a race or you've got a koozie, make sure you tweet me a picture. There are a ton of koozie pictures on the website from you guys, so make sure you check that out as well. And I think it's about time for a little weather with our weatherman, Mr. Aaron Studwell. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back again each and every week, as he always is. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. You can check out raceweather.net on the web. Fingers are crossed right now, toes are crossed. Mr. Aaron Studwell, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, sir. Yourself?
I am excellent. Excellent as always. All right, so before anything gets said about Pocono, let's talk about the weather we had at Loudoun and Eldora, because you were pretty much spot on a week in advance there. So,
we'll go chronological order, and I'm really glad I actually had a chance to see that race at Eldora.
You got to watch that. That was, man, that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't doing well, and I actually wound up DVRing it and caught it the next day.
Okay.
But even though I knew who won, even though I knew what happened sitting there watching it and why I pretty much just watched the main event. That was great racing and is so worth tuning into.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a lot of fun to watch. I love the fact it was a Wednesday night. It started a little late, I guess, if you're, got to get up at the crack of dawn, as I know most people do. Maybe an 8 o'clock start would have been nice, but they run the heat races. They've got a modified series that runs before the start of the truck, feature there, or the main, whatever you want to call it. If you were to start it a little bit earlier, it might impede on some other things that they're doing at the track. But either way, once a year, who cares? I thought it was fantastic.
And what time did it end? 10, was it 10:30 Eastern, about that?
10:30, between the 10:30 and 11 o'clock, half hour there, somewhere around there, yeah. Not horrible. It looked like it was maybe going to...
It's like a Monday night. It's like an early Monday night game for y'all.
Absolutely. That's, 100%. It looked like it was going to get a little dicey there. When they went into overtime and dirt, you would just assume you're just going to keep getting those cautions there. But, they held on. They were wrecking at the line, but, they were able to get it done with just one overtime, which I was surprised by.
Yeah, I kind of waiting for that to happen, but as again, I had the benefit of knowing what was going
knowing
on,
what right
happened.
Right.
Yeah, so. Yes.
But spot on, but little cooler temps and all that, and it was good.
No, I saw a lot of people who went, a lot of people who on Twitter, and just really kind of saying how much nicer it's been than previous years. You had that drier air, a little bit cooler air, and really probably made for a great night.
Yeah.
And, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next 2, 3, 4 years as we start rolling out the schedules and we start seeing it more and more. NASCAR needs to move around their schedules a little bit, whether that's change venues, change dates, add venues, just shake it up a little bit, because kind of tired of the mile and a half. I think everybody's kind of getting there.
Well, you know, I mean, I get that each track's got their set dates through 2020, whatever it is.
Right.
But, and that's fine. So, all right, Michigan, guaranteed two dates. Great. Could we, you know, just because they're guaranteed two dates doesn't mean it's got to be the second weekend in June and the third weekend in August. You know, we could,
bingo.
You know, why not come here in, you know, mid-May or, and, you know, Michigan in October could be really cool. You know,
I'm just thinking
fall
that
temps.
Shot from fall temps and fall colors.
Right.
That shot looking from four over the track, looking down on the Irish Hills, all that forest down there. That'd be amazing.
It'd be beautiful, you know, and the weather would be ideal, you know, because August weather here at MIS can be, you know, it can be balls hot. You know, it's uncomfortable, unbearable. And, yeah, so, all right, let's switch it up a little bit. Let's and get rid of the notebook. Give people a reason to come back to the track. Like, hey, I'm sick of the August race. All right, well, now it's not August. Now it's, you know, October. Come out a little cooler, a little bit more enjoyable. But, you know,
yeah.
I digress.
I agree. I led you astray
you did,
and led you down
totally
this fake path of hope.
All right. This past weekend, New Hampshire, rain, man. We got it. You called it.
Yeah, and fortunately, we had even talked about it and then kind of watched it on the website and on Twitter and all the other things we do. And the early exit, you know, between 2 and 4, it was out around 2. And then the thing that, you know, even with the stronger winds in place around the area, the fact that the dew points and temperatures, when we had that mist and drizzle hang in a little bit longer, I'm really glad the cleared out. We started seeing the skies weren't clearing, but temperatures were definitely rising. So we got back up towards 70 and the dew points held in. No more moisture came in and we had a chance to race. And we were kind of watching one last shower with like 5 to go. And people are saying, well, I'm feeling drops. And I'm like, no, let's just get this done. Let's just get this done
right.
And go home.
Yes, yes.
No, but really happy with how that forecast came out and even happier we didn't have to worry about a Monday forecast.
Absolutely.
And
now
look ahead and say, because it, honestly, it wound up being even worse Monday.
Oh, did it really? I didn't even realize that. Didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it rained most of the day.
Oh,
so
wow.
we would have been recording now probably watching probably ended like two, three hours ago.
Yep. All right. So you mentioned Monday racing. Is Monday racing in the future at the Poconos this weekend?
Well, that's the kind of standard forecast for Pocono. Definitely is, especially really for both races, is a chance of rain. But we're going to walk through it real quick with Friday cold front coming through. Clouds increasing through the day. We do have qualifying on Friday afternoon. We have a chance of showers and thunderstorms with that cold front moving through for qualifying. So I guess when you consider your fantasy picks, maybe you think they're going to be qualifying based on points.
Good info there.
Saturday, nice. Skies clear out. Ridge of high pressure moves in behind it. It's going to be a great day for the truck series at Pocono. Sunday, cup series, increasing clouds. I'm going to put in a chance of showers.
Okay.
Looking at the Patreon, what I did yesterday on Patreon, it was like, it's kind of a maybe not thing. And I'm going to think maybe not, because the way the pattern's setting up, it's been pretty inconsistent. And also, it looks like it may be later. So
okay.
The chances we're going to get an official race in are probably pretty high. A complete race. Maybe just we're going to watch a forecast on that. It's a chance of showers. No thunderstorms are in the forecast right now, but just showers in the area.
Excellent.
Highs in the upper 70s, which is near normal.
Okay.
Which actually kind of surprised me that it's not somewhere in the 80s for this time of year, but you are up in the mountains.
Yes. Yes. All righty, sir. Well, and you got a couple weeks to start, you know, doing some rain dances or whatever to make sure that MIS in a couple weeks is, you know, a little bit better than what we had in June.
Oh, yeah. you want to talk Iowa real quick?
Absolutely. How could I forget about the Xfinity race at Iowa? Sir, what do we got?
Yeah. We got sunny skies on Friday, which is when we have both practice sessions. But then we get around to Saturday, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock local for qualifying. We're going to start to see a chance of showers and thunderstorms move into the area. The way the models are setting up, there's going to be a very strong complex of storms moving across Missouri. But it looks like some of the outflow and some of the associated disturbances with that system are going to actually move their way into Iowa. So afternoon showers and thunderstorms, some possibly severe. So we'll keep an eye on that situation and keep Twitter and Facebook updated. The other thing that's going to be interesting about this one, highs in the low 70s.
In Iowa. Wow. All right.
In Iowa in July, normal high is 85. So we're going to be about 13 degrees below normal.
That'll make for some interesting racing on the track.
Yeah. Should impact the surface if they get the racing in. And again, it's a situation where, you know, timing is going to play a lot into this. Things can change. So we'll be keeping the website updated, social media updated, and we'll just keep an eye on things.
Sounds good, sir. All right. Thank you, as always, for coming on the show. Everyone, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and check out RaceWeather.net. And we'll talk to you next week, sir.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
Talk to you.
Later.
Always a fun time talking with Mr. Aaron Studwell there. All right. It is time. You know what time it is. It's time for some lucky dogs of the race weekend. All right. So before I give my lucky dogs, I feel like this segment needs a soundbite to start it. And I've thought about and I've tested it, you know, the barking dog. And I don't know. That just doesn't work for me. So if you have an idea of what would be a cool soundbite to start the lucky dog segment of the show, send me a tweet. Let me know what you got. I'm open for ideas here. Okay, over to my picks. My lucky dog of the race weekend, no surprise, Kevin Harvick, 6 wins. I'm pretty stoked about that, I'm not going to lie. And my lap down of the race weekend is going to be the 42 of Kyle Larson, because I needed a little bit more than just a 12th place finish for the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. So that is the only reason why I'm giving him the lap down. And that's just because, as you will find out in a little bit, someone may have jumped me in the standings and I'm not pleased about that. And had Larson had a little bit better of a finish there, I wouldn't be eating crow right now. So that's my lap down. Over to your tweeted responses. David at DFlint14's lucky dog is Almirola for such a great run and happy for rattling Shrub's cage. I got to tell you, he finished third, led laps. I just can't get over the season that Eric Almirola is having. Here's a little fun fact about Eric Almirola. He's ran 264 races. He's got 41 top fives. 9 of them have come this season alone. If that doesn't tell you the type of year he's having, that's incredible. And I am pumped and wouldn't have been upset if he would have gotten a win on Sunday. Not going to lie. David's lap down, Billy Scott and Jeremy Bullins for costing each of their teams 8 seconds in the pits when one of them could have had a win and the other a top five. Kenny at STL Cards Rule for Ev's lucky dog, giving it to two drivers that opened a lot of eyes and deserve a full-time ride. He might offer in Ryan Preece and Logan Seavey. A lap down, Kyle Busch, you answered his question wrong on national TV, should have said Harvick. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog is a tie between Harvick and Almirola. He wrote Chrome Horn. I think he meant Chrome Horse. I'm not sure. And great runs, respectively. Regardless, yes, Harvick, Almirola knocked it out of the park. Lap down NASCAR for trying to start the race an hour earlier. Linda at RacingGal_FL's lucky dog to the track sweepers for getting the track dry so we could enjoy the race. Thankless heroes of NASCAR. Couldn't agree more. They don't get a lot of mention. They get some TV time, but no one wants to see him on TV. Captain Redneck at Redneck_Captain's lucky dog. Harvick, suck it, Kyle. His words, not mine. A lap down. Almirola had a great car. I feel a win is coming. Couldn't agree with you more there, sir. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick. Lucky dog, Christopher Bell, proving the Cup guys can be beat in the Xfinity Series. Can I get an amen? Lap down, Castle tore up a primary and a backup car. Hashtag ouch. Yes, that definitely hit that team in the pocketbook a little bit this weekend. All right. Got, I think, three messages lined up here on the Wave Around Hotline for you guys, calling in your lucky dog and lap down picks.
Hi, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. And wow, what a race today. You know, I've always got to remind people, never give up on that four team. You know, no matter what happens during the race, they can always, you know, make good things happen. And that's what happened today. Yesterday's race, the Xfinity race, was pretty good as well. And I was at Eldora last week and, of course, saw some great racing there. I really enjoyed those controlled pit stops. I think they're almost a necessity for that track because there's absolutely no room for moving around back there. Not for every race, just for that one race. It was also cool that they're so quiet. It was almost kind of weird that you really didn't hear the typical, you know, pit gun noises and all that of a regular pit stop. So that was kind of fun. And don't tell Tony that I said this, but I don't really think that we need to have the cup cars on dirt at Eldora. Maybe Xfinity cars at a different track. For one race would be okay, but I kind of would like to leave Eldora being special. And I think if we start adding all of that other stuff, it's not going to be a premier event to watch. That's just my 4 cents about that. For my lucky dog this week, I'm actually going to give it to Norm Benning, because he muscled his way past Noah Gregson for a spot in the big shoe on Wednesday. And that was pretty cool to see. He didn't have to go to the last chance race. And I really don't have a lap down pick for this week. We saw three good races. I don't know what's not to love. I just can't think of anybody to put a lap down. So anyways, go four team. And boohoo, Kyle Busch. And that's all I have to say for this week. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Always love hearing from Kathleen. Kathleen, thanks so much for calling in. Glad you had a great time at Eldora. You know, you definitely couldn't have those type of pit stops at your normal racetrack, but it works there. You know, the controlled stops, can't lose position or anything like that. Teams can make some adjustments and all that good stuff there. And big props and congratulations going out to Kathleen for her retirement. She announced that on Twitter. So congratulations there, Kathleen. Hope you're able to enjoy it. And all right, let's move on to caller two.
Brandon, what's going on? This is Eddie from the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, host of the podcast, and you guys can follow me on Twitter at 3Wide_FastEddie, and you can also check out the podcast also if you want. But yes, Brandon, my goodness, we had some exciting racing this weekend all across the board, from Harvick getting to Kyle Busch, Christopher Bell in the Xfinity Series race on Saturday, holding off hard-charging Brad Keselowski, which leads me to my lucky dog. That's right, my lucky dog is going to go to Eldora. We saw an exciting racing across the board on dirt, 4-5 wide, and the finish, obviously, with the beating and banging of Brent Effinger and Chase Briscoe, grabbing the checker flag. That was epic to see that as well. And I got to go to my lap down. Well, my lap down's got to go to the 10 pit crew of Eric Almirola. This is the second time as in many weeks that even with the pit crew changes this week from SHR, the 10 team could not step up to the plate, and Almirola lost all his track position, and there went his race. So, Brandon, we saw exciting racing, and hopefully, maybe we'll see some exciting racing this weekend at Pocono. But for now, I'm out of here. I'll talk to you later. Have a good week.
Ah, Eddie, man, thank you so much for calling in. Eddie, make sure you're giving him a follow, like he said, at 3wide_fast. Eddie, check out his show. There's NASCAR content all over the place, so make sure you are getting as much in as possible because it is a lot of fun. Couldn't agree with you more. Beating and banging to the checkered flag at Eldora. What more could you want out of a truck race and a dirt race? And we got it all into one. Your lap down, Eric Almirola and the pit crew and the changes at SHR. I forgot to mention that earlier because obviously I was so stoked about the win. But yeah, pit crew changes at SHR. Maybe a little bit earlier. Or I'm sorry, maybe a little early in the season to see that. Typically, we see that a little bit closer to the home stretch and with playoffs and things of that nature. But they're making the change. Maybe they're testing to see what can work, knowing that they've got two drivers in automatically to see if maybe they can get a third and fourth team guaranteed into the playoffs there. But yeah, definitely did not work for Almirola this past week. But hopefully he can get one in the win column here soon. All right, over to the last call on the Wave Around Hotline this week.
Hey, Brandon, what's up, buddy? It's Andrew. Man, today's a great Monday. Work got canceled from a long vacation, so for once, I'm not driving to work when I'm calling for the Wave Around Hotline. It was a shocker. Anyway, I think you may have seen one of the better races at New Hampshire in a while. And maybe because there's only one date there this year. I mean, when Auto Club lost the race, we saw some really, really, really good classic races at Auto Club. So maybe we should go to tracks, maybe, I don't know, all of them once a year. Thinking out loud here. That's probably the lucky dog right there. That was a great race. Good battle for the lead at the end. No hard feelings, I don't think. Rubber's racing, man. Both cars were going straight at the end of the finish. And we got lucky with the weather. I mean, there's really not much to complain about this week, man. You have a good one. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Andrew calling in each and every week. I love it. Looking forward to talking to him on Thursday for the listener call-in show. And yeah, we got a great race out of a track that, you know, maybe we weren't going to expect one like we got with Chicago a couple weeks ago, which was a lot of fun. So, man, I got to tell you guys, this was like a perfect weekend with the lucky dog. Got a good amount of responses, 3 calls on the Wave Around Hotline. It's beautiful. I love it. Keep it going. It's fantastic, which leads me to the bonus show on Thursday, the listener call-in show. I got 6 people lined up, excited, ready to call in and talk some NASCAR and a little extra content show. I think it's going to go well. I'm excited. I'm optimistic. I think it's going to go great. So I'm looking forward to talking to some of you guys, the loyal listeners of the Lap Traffic Podcast on Thursday. So make sure you guys are getting your fill of Lap Traffic. Make sure you check out the Tuesday show early, and I'll have the show up next Thursday. I'm not sure what time it'll go. I've got an idea, but hopefully by about 9 o'clock or so, you guys get a little extra content, little listener call-in show, and hear from the likes of you guys out there that are listening and calling into the show. And if it goes good, keep doing them. All right. That said, it's time to recap some fantasy from this past week. Just a reminder, we're back to normal schedule, normal routine. Get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction going strong. DraftKings this week, I didn't play it. Completely forgot to set a lineup because I got into watching the Xfinity race beforehand. And I'm not the only one that forgot. If you've tuned into the MOATF podcast, they forgot to set their lineups too. And they were razzing me a little bit on their show. Guys, you are always going to be welcomed to play on the show. It definitely makes it fun to be able to razz some people out there. And I am not 44 years old. I am almost offended. I would be offended if it was coming from anyone but you guys. I am 35, ripe old, young age of 35 right there. Hey, all right. Over to week 8 of segment 2. No one was able to pick Briscoe in the truck race, but 8 players picked Christopher Bell in the Xfinity series, and 8 players picked Mr. Harvick for the Cup, and only one picked both Harvick and Bell, and that was Lisa Chinana. Nice job there. Week high was 144 by Noah, who picked Martin Truex Jr., Chris Bell, and Matt Crafton, and second place week high was 100. 139 points by JD, who had Truex, Christopher Bell, and Friesen. All right, over to the top 10 in standings. Chad Robb holding strong in first with 835. David James in second with 795. Jeff Hess in third with 783. Tim Triplett in fourth with 778. Kathleen McDonald is up to fifth with 767. Matt Fossum in sixth with 761. Aaron Lamp in seventh with 756. Rob Keplinger in eighth with 755. Chris Lowther in ninth, 754. And John Entwistle in tenth with 750. It's a close battle here in segment two with only, 6 points separating 7th through 10th there. I love it. Over to the overall cumulative standings. Chloe Yunker still holding strong in first with 2164. John Entwistle in second with 2103. Tommy Witt in third with 2085. Chad Robb in fourth with 2041. And Jeff Hess wraps up the cumulative top five with 2039. My picks for Eldora and New Hampshire, I had Crafton, who finished fourth, Hemrick 11th, and Larson 12th. Not a bad day, considering Hemrick got me quite a bit of points with his finishes in stage one and two. All right, I mentioned my lap down was Larson, and that is because the MOATF podcast has jumped two spots above me. I am in 22nd, and they are in 20th. They've gained a spot, but I'm only 12 points behind them, so I'm really not that worried. All right, that said, I think it's time for the picks. All right, Martin Truex Jr. won at Pocono just a few weeks ago. Will he pick up win number 5 on the season to add to his win total and the dominance of the Big 3 this year? Speaking of the Big 3, they finished this race last July 1, 2, and 3. That's right, Kyle Busch won, Harvick came in second, and Martin Truex Jr. finished the July race at Pocono 1, 2, 3. Are we in for a repeat this Sunday? Is Team Chevy going to kick it up a notch and come to play at the Tricky Triangle? Chevy went on a tear, winning 7 of 8 races from August 2012 to June of 2016. Since that, though, we've had 2 Fords and 2 Toyotas. And hey, Aaron mentioned it on his weather segment a little bit earlier. Weather can always be a factor at Pocono. Could pit strategy and plan for rain win you a race and get you to the playoffs? Are we about to get a little tricky at the Tricky Triangle? We will find out on Sunday. Right now, it's time for my picks. Over to the Truck Series. I am going with Grant Enfinger for the win. Xfinity, I am continuing to roll the dice with Daniel Hemric. He is kicking it up a notch and turning it up towards the end of the regular season here. So I am going with Daniel Hemric. And over to the Cup, I am rolling the dice. I want to get tricky. I am going with the 10 of Eric Almirola for the win at Pocono. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to be a wrap for episode 81 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, and follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget to subscribe and download and all that good stuff. And even more important, don't forget another bonus show this Thursday night with the Listener Call-In Show. I am very excited about that. The Road to MIS picks back up starting next week, as a very familiar voice, Mr. Rick Brenner, track president from MIS, will be on the show to hype up MIS. I've already got some things lined up, which is excited. Bonus show this Thursday. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!